Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you once again for tuning in to the daily Ramadan Q&A sessions that we are having. I apologize for the little bit of change up in schedule today. But a bunch of things came up and alhamdulillah, we just had to make some quick moves, but alhamdulillah, we were able to figure everything out. So we're happy to be here once again for another session of the Ramadan FAQs. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it, okay? The first question is about fasting. Can you put oil in your hair while fasting? The answer is yes. The simple answer is yes. To explain maybe a little bit of the thought behind that, a little bit of the, you know, kind of like understanding behind that is anything applied externally, anything that we apply, any kind of ointment or cream or lotion or oil or sunscreen or anything like that, all of that has no impact and has no effect on the validity of a person's fast. That has no effect, no impact, and has no bearing on the validity of a person's fast. Okay? So, because what affects the validity of a person's fast is actually ingesting something, something reaching the stomach. Right? So that's why that will not be a problem. The second question is, can you floss while fasting? Once again, the short, easy answer is yes, of course. Just if you are flossing, then spit out, you know, just take a little bit of water and lightly kind of, you know, clear your mouth out. Don't gargle it, but just kind of rinse out your mouth and spit it all out. Because you want to make sure that you're not sitting there flossing, and as a result of that, now you're starting to, you know, ingest and swallow a bunch of food particles that you are dislodging from your teeth. Okay, so, but generally speaking, yes, you can floss while you are fasting. You just want to be a little bit careful. You don't want to be reckless. So now we have a question that is very Ramadan specific. Okay. The question is, if you walk into a masjid and the Taraweeh has already started, but you have not yet prayed Isha, how do you pray Isha? Okay, so there is a little bit of a difference of opinion here. There's a little bit of a difference of opinion here. According to many of the scholars, such as Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, so the Maliki school, the Hanafi school, many of the scholars, They are of the opinion that if the Taraweeh has already started and you have not yet prayed Isha and you are coming to join in, that you cannot join into the Taraweeh with the intention of praying your own Isha. So I came into the masjid, the imam is leading Taraweeh, I have yet to pray Isha. I cannot pray my Isha behind the imam who is doing Taraweeh. The Maliki school, the Hanafi school does not allow for that. And that is based off of very solid evidence that that is not possible. You need to have al-imamu daminun. Innama ju'ila al-imamu li'utamma bihi. These are authentic narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, that there needs to be a consistency, right, between what the imam is doing and what the person behind the imam is doing. Okay, the imam was made to be followed. You need to be praying what the imam is praying, right? So we need that kind of consistency. And so that is one position. Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Shafi'i school, the Hanbali school, they are of the opinion that technically speaking, you could pray your Isha, you could join in and start praying your Isha behind the imam who is doing Taraweeh. However, the Shafi'i school very clearly states that that is not recommended. Technically, you could make, you could pull it off, but it is not recommended because it's just going to create a lot of confusion and chaos. Because you join into Taraweeh after two rakats, say salam. Now you get back up. Now you have two more to make up because it's just four. And now they're starting Taraweeh again. And it's just, it's unnecessary. Okay. The reason why it's possible, there's evidence as well. There's an authentic narration that Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a young, brilliant companion of the Prophet ﷺ, would pray Isha behind the Prophet ﷺ and then would go lead another community in their Isha prayers. So now he was doing an afil, they were all praying Isha and they would pray behind him. So for that reason, it was deemed to be okay. All right. But as I said, many of the scholars who say technically it's possible, like Imam Shafi'i, he still says it is not ideal and it is not recommended. He does not recommend it. So now, how should you go about in doing it? Well, what you should do is ideally this. Please pay very close attention so you understand what I'm saying. If there is a main prayer hall where the congregational prayer is happening, where the imam is leading the Taraweeh prayers, a lot of times there is kind of like a back hall. Like there's a room in the back or there's a little glass room on the side or something like that. Go into one of those rooms to pray your Isha and then you can go join the Taraweeh prayers. If there is no such room, then just go to the most furthest back corner of the prayer hall and pray back there. If you're in one of those communities where the whole prayer hall is packed, then maybe pray outside or pray in the lobby or see if there's an overflow area or a classroom or something like that. And then you can basically go join the Taraweeh prayers. Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah knows best. And like I said, there is a difference of opinion in regards to that. Nonetheless, I am answering the question here. So that's why I'm answering it according to what I would recommend you to do. Okay, number three. Is a money-related question. Can you pay fidya on behalf of a family member who cannot fast or did not pay it on their own behalf? Once again, you can. Yes, you can. If they are conscious and kind of like, you know, they can understand. If the person already passed away, then you can't really ask them. You can pay it on their behalf and make dua that Allah accepts it. If they're still alive, you know, and they have, they're still full, they're fully, you know, their cognition is still intact, right? They're lucid, they can understand, they're responsive. Then basically just telling them that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pay the fidya. It's just important to go ahead and let them know. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. Allah knows best. The next is a Quran related question, which is very relevant in Ramadan. And that question is, can you read the Quran from a phone without wudu? All right. So you're not in a state of wudu. Maybe you're, you know, on the train coming home, or whatever the case may be, and you can't make wudu right now. Could you basically recite the Quran off of a screen, right? So keep in mind, there's two things. You need wudu to make physical contact with the Mus'haf, okay? You need wudu to make physical contact with the Mus'haf, with the physical copy of the Quran. You need wudu for that, okay? However, when it comes to verbally reciting the Quran, right? Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You don't need wudu to do that. You don't need wudu to do that. So, basically the idea is that if you have the Quran on a tablet like this, and then particularly if you have, you know, some kind of a device like the pen, the pencil, and you can use that to turn the page and scroll, you're not making contact with the Quran, with the Mus'haf. So reading, you didn't need wudu anyways. So the short answer, yes, you can. Yes, you can. All right. Don't do it deliberately, almost as like kind of like a lazy kind of thing, where you're sitting in your living room and it's time to read Quran and you're like, oh man, I don't have wudu. I don't feel like doing wudu. I'm just going to grab my phone or my tablet and just read on there so I don't have to. Don't do that. Right. That's you're kind of missing the point here. All right. That's called missing the point. So don't be that guy. Okay. But sometimes the situation presents itself where you need to do, you know, something like that. We have some prayer related questions as well. Someone's asking the question, do you have to put your foot in the sink during wudu? Or is wiping it with water sufficient? Wiping it with water is sufficient. Okay. There's no virtue, believe it or not, right? There's no virtue to sticking your foot inside of a sink. And Allah knows best. Okay. Someone's asking that after you are done praying your fard salah, okay? After you are done praying your fard salah, saying astaghfirullah three times, is that a sunnah of the Prophet or something that scholars just recommend? Just as a note, typically what scholars do recommend, especially when it's related to worship, is typically a sunnah, okay? But with that being said, that's neither here nor there, but just kind of little FYI, this is actually an authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It is found in an authentic narration of the Prophet ﷺ that he would say istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah three times every time after the fard obligatory prayer. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And Allah knows best. Someone's asking a very good question. And that is there less value in performing dua in English, or should you try to do it in Arabic? Follow up, is there a specific way to make dua in order? So there's a lot in there, okay? Let me kind of start with the last question. Is there kind of an order? Look, you need to understand, the rule of dua, as Allah mentions in the Quran, is ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Make dua to your Lord and be very humble, be very vulnerable, be very, like, appeal, beg and plead, and do it in private. Make it an intimate conversation between you and Allah. Okay? So, that is the default of dua. That is the asal of dua. That is the foundation of dua. All right? So now, is there a specific order? There are things that are recommended. There are things that when we look in the Quran, when we look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, we do find some recommendations, right? Like Surah Al-Fatiha. It's teaching us the order of making dua, praise and glorify God. And then talk about the blessings of Allah in your life. And then state your loyalty and devotion to Allah. And then ask Allah for what you need. There is a sequence. There's another narration in which the Prophet says, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَحَدَكُمَ يَدْعُوَ فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهُ وَلْيُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِيِّ ثُمَّ يَدْعُوَ. Whenever any one of you wants to make dua to Allah, start by praising God and sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then ask Allah for what you need. So there are these recommendations, but ultimately what's most important is that's coming from the heart. Similarly, I'll answer the question, is there less value in performing dua in English than Arabic? No, not necessarily. No, there is not. There is less value in saying a bunch of du'as that you don't even understand what they mean. You're not even paying attention. You're not even really kind of connecting with what's being said. You're distracted. You're sitting there like, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Yeah, there's less value in du'a that way. Okay? As opposed to talking to Allah from your heart. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah. I beg you, O Allah. Allah, give me guidance. Allah, let me practice what is best. Let me live a life that is pleasing to you, O Allah, please. That is a much more valuable dua. Okay? So someone's asking the question that they love the dua, O Allah, I am your servant, son of your servant, son of your maid servant. Okay? Allahumma ana abduk wa abnu abdika wa abnu amatik. Okay? So they're referring to that dua. So they're saying, I love that dua, but it's obviously saying son of. It's from a male point of view. Okay? It uses a masculine word. So if I teach that to my daughter, should she say the words in that way in Arabic? Or should the dua be adapted for women and girls? How can non-Arabic speakers use Arabic du'as like this appropriately? If it's a dua from the Quran or it's a dua from the Prophet ﷺ, then there is blessing in just reading it verbatim as he taught it to us. And the intention of the person will make it relevant to them. But you just are saying the words the Prophet ﷺ said, to get the blessing of it, okay? So you do not have to adjust that. But now, if you are using the translation of the dua, then you do want to adjust it because those are no longer the words of the Prophet ﷺ. That's the meaning of the words of the Prophet ﷺ. I hope that makes sense, okay? And then, last question about dua is when making dua, I try to use as many Quranic duas or duas from the Sunnah. I read the meanings and keep meanings in mind when I make the dua in Arabic so that the intention is in my heart. But for some dua, man, I am unsure whether the whole Quranic dua is appropriate, quote unquote. For example, the dua that Asiya makes for a house in paradise with Allah, there's also a bit about save me from Pharaoh, right? وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. Okay, which clearly the questioner is saying does not apply to me. Or the prayer of Prophet Ibrahim. Right? There is the ayah about forgive my father for he is amongst the wrongdoers. What do I do about du'as like that? How can I use them in my own supplication without it being inappropriate? So at some level, if somebody just doesn't know the meaning of it, they'll be rewarded for their intention. But if you do grasp the meaning of it, you read the meaning of it, you understand the meaning of it, then yes, you're supposed to say the part of the dua that is relevant and significant and applicable to you. So you'll say the first part of the dua, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That's it. You'll stop there before it talks about save me from Pharaoh. Okay? But you'll just say the first part only. So that is the proper way to approach that. But again, I know that not everyone has the knowledge base to do that. So if somebody is reading it, don't worry, they're not doing anything inappropriate. But if you have grasped the meaning of it, then what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to stop before the point where it creates a meaning that doesn't make any sense for you to be saying that. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. Allah knows best. I hope that makes sense. With that, inshallah, we're going to go ahead and wrap up and conclude today's Ramadan FAQs. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you very much for joining in. And before you go, I want everyone to go to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com. Go to that link right now and donate and give generously. Why? Because when you donate, when you contribute, when you give at supportqalam.com, you're doing something that's really interesting, very powerful, very remarkable. What are you doing? You are, first of all, contributing to educating people all around the world. And we have this concept of sadaqa jariya, that you do the kind of good deed that keeps on multiplying, and therefore your reward keeps on multiplying. So this is that kind of deed. Number two, you not only are educating people around the world, but you are very particularly also supporting the education of the future Sheikh Mikael's and Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy's and Mufti Kamani's and Ustad Atifa and Ustad Fatima. You're creating more of those. They're going to spread out all over this country and take Islam to each and every single person. You are supporting that. So go to supportqalam.com, share the link with family and friends. We appreciate your support. And I look forward to tomorrow having another session of Ramadan FAQs, answering questions that y'all have. And then maybe even seeing y'all before then, because as always, or as we've been doing for a couple of days now, tonight, inshallah, once again, around midnight, we're going to have our nightly reflections. So inshallah, tune in for that. Plan to join us for that. And at the very least, I'll see y'all tomorrow for the Ramadan FAQs. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.